you know, sometimes these things strike me as I'm reading or thinking about this or that. That topic was the linkage, basically, between morality and past and karma, you know, the karmic carry through from past lives as it relates to moral behavior, and then current psychopathology and sense of self as it relates to healing in the path, which is basically it's basically a karmic perspective on second chakra blockage. The idea that second chakra blockage, which we all have somewhat, associated with the sense of self, is significantly established by the karmic carry-through from past lives as pertains the person's morality or degree of virtue in relationship with others. So the idea is that the greater... it's like... so this is something... Unfortunately, we're only 20 minutes left here. But the idea is that Gautama said that the main purpose or one of the main values of Shila or morality, ethics, like, you know, against killing, against stealing, against lying and wrong speech in all ways, against harming self and other by intoxicants, harming self and other by sexuality, wrong livelihood and all these things. The main value of Shila morality is to prevent regret. And the idea is that what remains, what you know, the karma that's established by, you know, immorality, which is really lack of virtue, which is really harmfulness, harmful of self or other, and or self and or other, right? Which is the difference of ahimsa, which is himsa, ahimsa, Gandhi's teaching harmlessness, becomes himsa, or harmfulness, which is against Shila. Shila morality is ahimsa, harmlessness. And the opposite of that is himsa, or harmfulness, unskillful action, or immorality. That the main, one of the main purposes of preventing that immorality is to prevent regret, which is long-term, multi-incarnational self-blame. And long-term multi-incarnational self-blame or remorse or, you know, the essence of regret is the person feeling bad about themselves for what they did cannot be changed. That's the basis, that's one of the karmic bases of second chakra blockage in the current life, which is associated with sense of self. So if the person is carrying heavy regret, if the person has done significant immorality or lack of virtue in past lives, according to a Buddhist understanding, they would be carrying significant regret at a soul level, at a deep mind level. That significant regret at a deep mind level, in my understanding, will persist even after the karmic return at the physical level. So I was a bad father and I abandoned my wife and children in a past life. Then in the current life, you know, my father left the family, and my mother, you know, was alcoholic, and then put me into an orphan home. That's the material karmic return. See, I tell a good story, right? When I say that, you believe me. You think maybe, did that happen to Scott? Right?
No.
But it didn't. The material karmic return in that case would be, you know, the events that occurred in my family. The father abandoning and the mother being a certain way and me being orphaned and put away and this and that. And, you know, the abandonment from parents, which is the material karmic return of me as a parent in a past life abandoning my own family. But even beyond that, you know, how does that person grow up in their life? Well, at a certain level, there's still pain in the mind, obviously, from the abandonment in the current life. But what's under all that? What's under that is a deep mind knowing that I deserved it because I was a bad father too. The soul knows why the karma is as it is. Higher mm-hmm. self knows, the deep mind knows, why this misfortune befell me. and the self-responsibility for such misfortune, painful life circumstances is also known. I deserve it. It's not an accident. Like the person who walks around with black moles on their face. Moles on the face indicate certain karmic issues also. Moles anywhere, black little marks on the body, black and red marks often, you know, normally have meaning. But on the face they have certain meaning in certain area of the face and size and coloration and all that. The soul knows what that all means. Higher deep mind knows what that all means. And knows that I deserve it and I made it basically by my immorality. And what's retained in the mind long after the karmic, the material karmic return is regret. Which is basically a deep sense of low self-value. Regret actually means I'm not really happy with myself. I'm not well. I don't really like myself. I can't feel good about myself. And that most people have that view. Most people don't really like themselves very much. And that's, to me, that's, you know, lower. That's a second chakra blockage. Mm-hmm. And it's the normal condition of Earth humanity. And it's associated with 3D repeating or repeater psychology. And it's a significant blockage that can only be healed by greater self-understanding and self-love. And many, many people do many, many things out of a deep sense of inadequacy. And that is appropriate because that's the carry-through regret. That's the consequential regret as a result of the karmic carry-through from past lives when indeed they did act immorally or without ethics or virtue or care for others. That's a very interesting thing. And so I could associate Gautama's teaching about the value of Sila with the karmic consequence of low self-value, second chakra blockage, the need for self-healing, and the current condition of I would say, the majority of Earth humanity, which has not been... you know, very sensitive or vigilant in keeping morality in past lives. You know, wars on every continent for the last 3,000 years. I mean, if you go to war multiple times in your past lives, you end up with a very complicated psychology. Actually, unless there's very deep healing. Because of regret. And that regret comes down, ends up manifesting as self-blame and a deep, unrecognized sense of insufficiency or inadequacy or low self-value, low self-worth, second chakra blockage, and that, you know, leads to trouble in every other department of life. Relationships, activity or career or engagement with society, and then exists as a blockage that needs to be cleared before there's any great degree of love and wisdom. So, that was the topic. And maybe I just explained it all right here. But that was the topic, and I think that's, for me, was helped me to understand the karmic moral basis of low self-value, which is, I would say, the common condition of Earth humanity, and the basis of repeating. The basis of, or deep, buried deep in the knot of 3D repeater psychology, the psychology of souls who can't get out of third density, is low self-value. And that's second chakra blockage, which is, you know, fully healed really by fourth and sixth chakra activations and coordination. But it's very much associated with lack of, you know, the avoidance of Sila, non-attention to Sila, to virtue or harmlessness. And I'm not saying I'm some great virtuous person either, but I know the principles. And I would imagine that it's the history of human moral carelessness, Earth humanity's moral carelessness, in that they've hurt a lot of, you know, they've hurt each other a lot for many incarnations. Many people in the family hurt each other many people in society hurt each other in organizations all over the place, and then there's war. And then there's, you know, dishonesty and deception, which is all over the place. The result of all of that, one of the results is multi-incarnational karmic guilt and regret, which comes out as low self-value and low self-worth. And that provides, that establishes a blockage to even seeking, to confront, to the discovery of truth. You know, if you want to grow spiritually, one would be seeking. Seeking what? Seeking growth. How? Basically by seeking truth and seeking to know and seeking to conform or develop oneself in conformity with greater knowing. But the greater knowing involves some faith that I can know and that I can handle what I discover. And if there's a deep sense of low self-value, the person has some very deep ambivalence about their own capacity to know and their capacity to handle what they discover. And the whole endeavor of seeking in the first place is generally rejected. That's what 3D repeating, that's the cause of 3D repeating, is that they're not seeking. They're vast sinkhole of indifference, as Ra said. Spiritual apathy, moral apathy, personal apathy, lack of deep self-care. And that all seems to me to come very naturally from multi-incarnational karmic guilt or regret, from the established activity, karmic causes of immoral or unethical behavior in relationship to others in many past lives. And it's not a matter of being a goody two-shoes, good boy, good girl. It's just a matter of cause and effect. And for most people, being on the positive, most souls who really are positive at the base of their beingness, meaning they really ought to be on the positive path because the higher self got there. For them, for 90% of the people, I would say here, higher self, their higher self got to be higher self on the positive path. That's normal. It's not always, but it's 90% cosmically or in the galaxy, it seems. Therefore, they ought to be living in virtue for them to continue to evolve. But if they have consistently over many past lives rejected virtue or rejected, the seeking of real morality, which really means some kind of harmlessness, which is just the golden rule, like Confucius said, don't do unto others as you don't want them to do to you. People not thinking that way, I think establishes the karmic and metaphysical and essential psychological blockage that keeps them in 3D repeating. Yes, I think it's absolutely related. Ra did say, I mean, you're basically asking about the extension of the individual third density multi-incarnative psychological process, psycho-spiritual or psychological metaphysical process, the extension of that to a multi-dimensional collective process, which is analogous, which is Ra from sixth density making intervention in response to the call and non-infringing, okayed by the Council of Saturn, in Egypt, basically, a few times, and most recently, 3,500 years ago. Ra said just in session 42, I think, Their harmony in evolving up to sixth density, being very strongly love over wisdom, but very strongly in love and harmony in the group, that harmony was a source of grievous naivete as regards their working with humanity. The naivete, which is a lack of wisdom, as the result or manifestation of profound love over wisdom, evolving up to sixth density on Venus or in their own way, with deep harmony, being naive about negativity and distortion, and therefore being really unprepared and taken by surprise by the distortions that came out of the negativity and confusion and tangle of humanity's thinking process. How that that whole you know, interplay of Ra and humanity, and Ra having being here today, how that is analogous to the individual process, and it's extremely analogous and related. It's basically it's a amplification of the individual multi-karmic, multi-incarnational karmic process to a multi-dimensional, also multi-incarnational, but multi-dimensional collective process of Ra's metaphysical responsibility for the unintended consequences of their naive interventions. Although their interventions were not infringement, meaning they were okayed by the Council of Saturn, because of their naivete, which was also known by the Council of Saturn, which is an interesting point, meaning that the Council can okay something that may lead a confederation group into what they feel is disastrous unintended consequences, but it's a learning opportunity. See? It's a learning opportunity. You know, it's like the master of the temple okays a plan by the senior student, knowing that the plan will get the senior student into a crisis. But the senior student didn't know that. But the teacher knows that the senior student needs to go through that crisis as the way of going through their existing naivete, lack of wisdom, lack of skill. So the Council of Saturn knew that, and Ra didn't. And then they experienced disastrous unintended consequences, such as the pyramids, and including the you know, the South American group, I think it was Sirius, went to there. All these pyramids then used for human sacrifice, and then black magic, and then the creation of giant life forms, and mind control. And now Tesla's inventions going to psychotronic warfare and particle beam weaponry. Pretty much unintended consequences. I think it's exactly the same. Not that Ra in sixth density wouldn't have second chakra-related self-blame or guilt or low self-value. They know that self is a being of infinite worth. They said that. Obviously, they know that. Meanwhile, knowing that self is a being of infinite worth, they also know the metaphysical laws of karma and responsibility and service. And so if I'm trying to help somebody, even I'm called, and my helping leads them to you know, what I would consider disastrous unintended consequences, yes, I'm on the hook for that. Metaphysically, by law, there is a multi-incarnational responsibility of the server for the consequences of the service. And that's pretty sobering, which means be careful. And so when you try to help somebody, it's like you give the guy, you know, the homeless man in the street asks for money. You give him, you're feeling like, you know, I really want to give. You give him a $20 bill. He takes the $20 bill, and 3 hours later, you see him, you know, with a bottle of rubbing alcohol dead in the alley. You know? Probably one would have some karmic obligation for that, or karmic responsibility. It's called honor duty. Ra called it honor, duty, responsibility. They can see it as an honor and a responsibility and a duty, but they also are still here. And Ra had said that they are. They've said that directly. I forgot the exact words, but you can find it in one of the first sessions, as you said, that they're here basically because of their sense of responsibility for the changes in consciousness engendered by their naive attempts of service. All of which were okay by the Council of Saturn and non-infringement, according to Logoic perspective. If the Council basically administers or executes the many things, but including service activities of higher dimensional groups to lower dimensional groups in accord with the council's understanding of logoic laws of free will. So Ra didn't break free will. Meanwhile, they were naive, and the unintended consequences, the grievous naivete, they said, does have a karmic obligation, you know, does carry karmic obligation. And you can say that, you know, you see Ra, knowing the self as a being of infinite worth and knowing the path, they don't need self-forgiveness. So there's there are some very significant differences in consciousness between a third density repeater and late sixth density naive love of wisdom confederation group. The late sixth density love over wisdom achieved confederation benevolent group like Ra doesn't carry self-blame, doesn't therefore need to move into self-forgiveness. They're already beyond forgiveness. They know enough to no longer need forgiveness because they understand the self in a forgiven way. The self is a being. Self is understood so truly that forgiveness is no longer needed because blame doesn't arise. You don't need forgiveness if you don't start with blame. If you don't recognize a sin, there's nothing to be forgiven. Now, that can be used by negatives and that can be self-deceiving. But if the self is really understood as it is, which is not a separate of self, but a greater universal identity, blame doesn't arise, forgiveness is unneeded. For the third density soul that is, bound by self-created 3D repeater psychology, such as self-hatred, self-blame, regret, remorse from past life karmic offenses, or lack of sila, or harmfulness, not ahimsa, but himsa to others, harm done to self and other, they do need self-forgiveness, absolutely. But your basic point is absolutely right, that Ra's experience of blameless metaphysical karmic responsibility for unintended consequences of a pure attempt to serve that was non-infringing, their karmic obligation for being here now and in the future 3D cycle, by the way, is sort of a metaphysical extension into sixth density and to the collective of a similar process that's going on for the individuals of 3D souls who are not yet harvestable, who are repeating at third density, carrying 3D repeater psychology, which is one of a deep self-conflict, deep conflictuality, deep internal conflict, meaning rejection of self, or inability to bring love to the sense of self, inability to love themselves enough, inability to love, which means inability to love and accept the self as it is, which would lead to forgiveness, which would lead to the clearing of deep regret, which they don't even realize they carry. But they have this low sense of self. So yeah, Ra's, what you see in the case of Ra and such a confederation group being metaphysically bound, they're not bound to self-blame, they're not bound to repeating, they're not bound to low self-value or regret. But they talked about grievous naivete, so the grievous part means that I think they have some regret. Now, there's regret without blame, without self-blame. So there's remorse without low self-valuation. It's a pure remorse. I know I am that I am. All is one, I am one, one is all, all is the one infinite. And this being is all, and all is one, and I fucked up. Or, I wish I hadn't done what I did that led to those unintended consequences. And then one still is karmically bound. There's a very famous, it's a long saying, I can't get into it now, but there's a long exchange in Chinese Chan, Chinese Buddhism Chan, where at the back of a temple, the story goes, a strange man appeared at the back of the temple. This is, you know, 1,000 years ago in the wilds of China somewhere. And it may not be a true story, but the story goes, the monks wondered, who is that strange person? And later, he asks for an attendant with the master, and meets the master, and says, I'm really a fox. I'm just taking this human appearance because I'm actually been reincarnated in a fox body, and I used to be a monk, and I taught that the enlightened man is free of karma, or is not subject to karma. Can you give me a turning word? Meaning, can you give me a phrase that helps me release the blockage and release the karmic burden and return to become a human again? And the teacher said something like, the enlightened man is not free of karma. The enlightened man is one with karma. The fox in human form was released. That was a suitable turning word, and that was the end of that, and he got his shit together, and it was a happy ending. So the superior man is not free of karma, which implies that karma is a thing, and the person is a thing, and they're separate. You're either bound to it or you're free of it. No. The teaching was the superior man, or the enlightened man, actually, the person who's enlightened, is one with karma. Meaning there's no separation in mind. It's the unity or the identity, all is one, of what appears as an individual life stream and what appears as universal necessity, right? Environmental necessity. The necessity of certain experience. That's what karma can be. The carry in and carry through and limiting conditions that appear to be karmic return or karmic result are understood for that person, for the liberated being, as not distinct from their true nature or their realized sense of you know, true identity, true nature, which is not considered separate from the lawful flows of phenomena, of phenomenal display. What appears, it's like the enlightened person who keeps doing meditation, but they have their fourth stage arhat. Why should they, and someone may ask them, why do you meditate? And he may reply, why should I not meditate? Why should I stop? I find no reason to stop, so why should I stop? So it's not being done because there's a desire. It's being done because there's no desire to cease. It's because they're doing it because there is no desire. There's no desire to get something from it, and there is no desire arising in mind to stop doing it. So they keep doing it. Something like that. Karma and phenomenal display and fate and fortune. What comes in, what comes up. What comes up in the mind and body, what comes out from the environment. Is recognized as not separate from this totality, the totality of this one here, meaning my true nature. There's no assumption of identity. Identity as an objectification has been dropped, is no longer assumed. It's a disassumption. How about that? A disassumption, de-assumption of identity. That leads to a recognition that phenomenal display, or what comes to me, what comes up in body-mind, is not separate from true essence, from true being, or one's true nature that's free of any limited sense of identity. That's something close to being one with karma. And so, likewise, Ra, without regret, without self-blame, without low self-value, without guilt, yet can grieve the unintended consequences of their naive love over wisdom intervention. And thus they remain. in service to this group of souls that harmed themselves by unwise or unskillful intervention that was non-infringement. Non-infringing, unwise, well-intended, higher-dimensional intervention. And so that's sort of how the semi-enlightened one, such as the sixth density being or Atman, deals with karmic carry-through. But it's certainly comparable, it's just a much higher octave or a higher turn of the spiral in terms of consciousness and understanding and awareness than the 3D soul that is stuck in repeating psychology, self-conflict, and self-blame, also at the carry-through from unloving activity in the past. So the problem with Ra was that their activity was not unloving, it was unwise. But the 3D repeater's activity that carry that, or anyone's activity that generates a karmic carryover or karmic guilt or regret in mind, remorse in mind, is action without love. So there's love without wisdom, love with deficient wisdom, and there's action without with deficient love and wisdom. That's where you get real trouble. And that's the difference between a 3D soul and a sixth density soul. Okay, well, thank you again. Have a good evening. I hope you're all well and sleep well. See you next time, and good night.